It is the big game.
That was better than the halftime performance, I promise you. And if you're hanging out with us today for the Super Bowl gathering, you're probably going to be praying for your pastor, because he may know every word to every song when everything comes out. I'm just putting it up there, just putting it out there. Say hello to a neighbor. Don't say hello to a neighbor. Be their neighbor. It's almost Valentine's. This is a great opportunity for you to say hello to someone as we get ready for Big Game Sunday, wherever you are. Okay. All right. So I tried to make sure you had some things when you got there. We got some participation, but I got some leftover things last week. Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to do it old school. We're going to do it like communion. I've got to get a couple of these out. Because it is Valentine's Day, husbands, if you hadn't bought anything, I know inflation is high. Can I get an amen, anyone? No? Amen to inflation. The only good time you want inflation is for your tires. That's a win, right? There you go. If you want to take a few of those, pass it around. Here at the Vine Church, we believe in zero calories as much as we can. And we pray for the Lord to do it. So we're having our big game Sunday. And what we wrapped up doing last week, take seven, pass it around. Here's a few. Last week we wrapped up our series called Fruition. And what we walked through in that series was bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And it all led up to today, which is our big game Sunday. And what we like to do at the Vine Church, and a lot of folks do this, which is really great, is rally around a word, a phrase, or maybe a Bible verse for the year. And so we're going to be talking about that a little bit as we get ready for Big Game Sunday. Now, you saw a couple of folks, you see me today in a sweatshirt of all things, so be prepared for the perspiration to come. I promise you, if there is perspiration, we're going to blame it on the Holy Spirit and the fire that's going through there, and we're going to trust that. But today, many folks are going to wear their favorite teams, celebrate their favorite teams, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about with Team Colors as we get ready for this Big Game Sunday, get ready for this series, and get ready to dive into God's Word today. So as we get ready for that, if you've got your Bible today, if you want to go ahead and get that out, that would be awesome. If you don't have one, we're going to make sure that everything is on the screen. Our Vine production team's incredible. Every week they do that, so you can follow along there. Also, you can follow along on our Vine Church app. Go to thevine.tv/app, download it. It's a great day, too, because you want to take notes today, because you're going to be carrying something with you. Not only did everyone get Dove chocolate hearts, but everyone here got a couple of different cards for this One Word Sunday. So if you've got your Bible today, kind of stumbling in the open, it's going to be fun as we take polls here. But by the time you hear this, the game's probably over, maybe, if you're listening to the week. So I'm not even going to ask who you care about winning today. Everybody's probably voting for the halftime show anyway. It's okay. So if you got your Bible, let's get to Matthew 13. One of my favorite things that we get to share. You've heard this if you've been in church before. And so today, we're going to be sharing, I'm going to tell you my one word for the year. We're going to share the Vine Church's one word for the year. You're going to have an opportunity to take your one word. We're going to lay those at the altar at the end of the service. It's going to be a great day. Jesus is going to be glorified. And we're going to pray each other up throughout the rest of this year for these one words. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and get to Matthew 13, wherever you are. You're going to have a familiar story. Jeremy in the welcome talked about how we have sowers who give of their time, their talent, their treasure. Anytime you give at the Vine Church, most of the time, whenever you get an email from our giving, you're going to see the parable of the sower in there. You're going to see that's what it is. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is the parable of the sower. And the reason I gave you some dove hearts at the beginning and some cards is we're going to talk about four different types of hearts today before we go into the heart day that is Valentine's Day tomorrow. So if you're with me, give me an amen. Amen. All right. I heard that. Lord, you heard that too for Florida State. Let's do it. I'm just kidding, y'all. Don't throw things or pelt things at me. Matthew 13, verse 1 through 2 says this. This is what Jesus says. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got in a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. From the beginning, we have to be reminded of the mission that we live on. Look at what Jesus is doing. He didn't stay in the four walls. He went out. And that's what this story really and this parable is about, is how the church isn't inside the four walls. It goes out. So Jesus, instead of staying in the house and making everyone come to him, decided to go out and bring the word to them. Now, we know this if we've been in church for a while, but many times in this season we've been in, it's been about staying in, isn't it? COVID has been, and if there's anything it's taught us, it's awful. You can say it's great that you want to stay in your house all day, and if that's how God made you, awesome for me. I got to at least go outside to get some fresh air. Like, I don't know about you, but if that's me, that's what I have to do. And this season teaches us that. Why is that? Wired inside of us is to go out and bring the word of God. And so Jesus goes out. What's really crazy that I love is really funny in this story that Jesus made me laugh about in here is the role is reversed when Jesus is teaching, okay? In other words, Jesus sat down and everyone else stood up. Like, that was how it was. So imagine that. Like, now the way that we have church is the pastor stands, everyone sits. It's the opposite when Jesus is teaching. Like, he sits down and everybody else has to stand up because they're on a shore. They want to see him. And here's why that's important. The world is doing that for us when we have Christ in us. We can even be seated in a restful state, and they are standing up looking around to see what we have. And that's an important thing to share. And that's what Christianity is about. It's not about just what you believe, it's how you live it out. It's the life that goes behind it. So let's see how Jesus shows us how we can stay on this mission and teaches us about four hearts through the parable of the sower. Then he told them, this is starting in verse 3, excuse me. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Once again, there's that word, went out. The farmer goes out. Now, Jesus teaches in parables. I don't know where you are on the spectrum of following Jesus. Maybe you're just kicking the tires of who Jesus is, trying to figure out what this is. Maybe your conception of Jesus is this baby in a manger or what that is, whatnot, and we're thankful you're here. But as Jesus was in his earthly ministry, he taught through these parables. Some would say there's 27 to 29. Some say 30. Some say up to 100 parables. It just depends on your definition of what Jesus did. But these parables were like real life application. Jesus like taught us how to live through this and how we can live out being a follower of him. So he goes out, the farmer goes out and sows seed. Verse 4 through 9. As the farmer scatters the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came and ate it up. If you're about to put grass seed out, that's what you see right now in the springtime. The birds are about to eat up all the seed. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. So verse 4 talks to us about the first seed. Verse 5 and 6 is the second seed. Verse 7 is the third seed. Verse 8 is the fourth seed. And Jesus gets to the point of the whole thing. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Let them hear. In other words, what are you doing with this? You can have noise around. Really, I want it. I think Jesus is saying, like, not just hear, but listen. Listen. Listen to what's going on. Don't just know a noise is in the background. Like, listen to what this means. Lean in. Be who he created you to be. It's what it's all about. Now, here's the thing about Jesus. I want to tell you that's fun. If you were with us Thursday night, you missed some great laughter about some ears. I want to tell you right now. We're in Mark. I'm just telling you. We had some great laughter about ears. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Whoever that person was had one ear chopped off, and they only had one ear, but they had to hear. Like, whoever it is, like, if you have ears, let them hear. Jesus is saying, hey, if you want to follow me, you want to be a disciple of mine, hear what I'm saying, that no matter what you do as a farmer, you go out and sow seed. Some of that seed of the gospel that you throw out is going to fall on soil that's not going to accept it, and the birds are going to eat it up. Some is going to fall on soil and it's not going to grow because it's not fertile enough. It's not good soil. Some's going to go out there, and it's going to be scorched by the heat. Others are going to go out there, and it's going to produce a crop. And this is what discipleship is. It produces a crop. We just talked about fruition and bearing fruit. The fruit that is bore in Christ Jesus can be 100, 60, or 30 times when we do it and sow it faithfully in the Spirit. Well, how do you know which one you are? The question is, does it matter? Jesus promises
If you follow him, you're either going to have 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold. And if you're saying, well, I'm only a 30-fold, why do they get 100-fold? I don't know about you, but if I could take a dollar of something and turn it into $30 immediately, I'm investing in that. That's something I want to be a part of. I don't care that it could have got 100. Who cares? It gets 30. And if you care so much about that, then your heart's not in the right place. You're one of these hearts that really Jesus is speaking to, because realistically, he's speaking to all of our hearts today. Whether it's, you know, being following him at all for like 30 years or still trying to figure out who he is. He's speaking to all of us today. And this is why I love this parable. I'll be honest with you. This is why I'm sharing it today. We heard it in prayer. We've heard it multiple times in prayer today. It's not going to be the words that I talk to you about that's going to do anything in your life today. I'm going to be honest with you. The Holy Spirit will, though. And the Holy Spirit is going to speak today. And the Holy Spirit is going to press in. And what I love about this, Jesus says in verse 9, if anybody has ears, let him hear. In other words, your discipleship, I'm to point you to Jesus. You taking your next step in him is not my responsibility. I want to celebrate you doing it, and I'm going to walk with you through it. But in the end, I'm going to be given to an account. As a teacher, as James talks about, those who are teachers are held to a higher standard. I'm going to have to give an account for how I pointed you to Jesus. Not what Tyler wanted you to do. Not what the Vine Church wanted you to do. Not any of that. What Jesus has called you to do. And that's what he's going to do today. As we go into 2022, the reason we've been praying for this one word is, hey, what is Jesus calling you to? What's he calling you to? He's saying, do you have ears? Hear. Like, do you hear me? Because if we do and we lean into it, we're going to see a 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold harvest. And just like I said, I don't know anything in this world outside of a Ponzi scheme that tries to give you that, right? A Ponzi scheme will promise you that while they go get the brand new yacht, and they got the 100-fold because they jacked it from you. Instead, Jesus, instead of stealing it from you, takes everything and gives everything for us if we just receive it. And so that's what he is saying is, hey, where are we in these four hearts? And so the disciples, being as hard-headed as I am, ask Jesus, hey, what does this parable mean? And so if you'll go to verse 18, he's going to talk to us about the four hearts in this parable. So here we go. Verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. Now remember, verse 9, if you have ears, let them hear. And then Jesus uses that magic word, listen. Listen. It's not just a noise. Listen. Lean in. Listen. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. All right. That's the first seed that was talked about in verse 4. This heart is a hard heart. A hard heart. He's saying, hey, this person's a hard heart, because the word of God will either soften your heart or harden your heart. No in-betweens. Either you accepted it and you receive it and it's soft, or you're hard. You reject it at every turn. Maybe today that's where you are. You're rejecting the word of God at every turn and you can't figure out. You're trying to make a 30, 60, or 100-fold increase on your own and you can't figure out why. And it's because God's not in it. And so this person that has a hard heart, what happens is today we're going to see that person, maybe in the big game. They hate on everybody. That's the person in the big game. They talk to you about their high school career and all of the things they did back in their Little League days. They're the three-year letterman on the Little League varsity team. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they go to that. They hate on everybody. And what that points to is there's an issue. There's a root. There's a problem in what they're rooted in. And the problem is they don't really have a root in the Lord. They have no root at all. So much so that birds can go take them out. Like, and so Satan just takes away their joy. They have no joy. And the reason that many of us may be stuck in that and we're hating on God realistically is all of us at one time were there. We were mad at God, angry at God, couldn't figure out why we couldn't get what we thought God should give us, what we thought we deserved from God. But when we came to Jesus, we saw we didn't get what we deserved. By his grace and mercy, we got better than we could ever ask or imagine. We got the hope that we couldn't bring ourselves, the hope that we couldn't produce, the seed of the gospel that really took root in us and grew us to be who we were created to be. And so when it comes to exception or rejection, many times the reason we reject God and we're stuck in rejection is we think we got to have it together, right? We got to have our resume filled out before we can get that 100-fold, right? We've got to build our portfolio. We think that we've got to have it all together to come to God. But what ends up happening is every time we keep trying to get it together, it falls apart constantly. And we can't find out why. And maybe it's because God's not in it. And I'm telling you, I don't know about you, there's only so much I can do for myself. The older I get, I realize there's only so much I can do in myself and by myself. These knees don't work, this back don't work, and I'm not that old. Like, I don't have a good excuse. Like, I realize my recovery time for thing is a lot longer than it should be. And so as a young old man, if you will, if I can say that, I will tell you that 20-year-old invincibility will fade. It will fade. And you will realize that you can't. It's really easy to reject God then when you think you got it all together. And then when it all crashes and falls apart, you get angry at God because it's his fault, right? That's this person that's a hard heart. And to be honest with you, it's okay if you have a hard heart. I understand why you're here, because every person who really follows Jesus understands we were there too. Anyone who truly follows Jesus understands, hey, we were there too, man. I rejected God at every turn. He tried to bless me with his grace and mercy, and I said, not today. No, not today. So a hard heart. Jesus is saying, hey, if you've got a hard heart today, are you going to keep rejecting his word, or will you be softened to it? The second heart he talks about in verse 20 is the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. This, and I'm just going to be as honest as I can, these next two hearts are the two that scare me the most in the church, okay? This heart's a shallow heart. Now hear me out. I'm not going to be heretical here. Yes, confess, repent of your sins, surrender lordship of your life to Christ, the person and work of Jesus. That's fundamental. That's the first step. But if you did that 30 years ago, and you're still the same today as you were then, you have a shallow heart. And it's not that you aren't going to get into heaven. It's not that you aren't going to be with Jesus. The question is your life following, is the way you live your life following what Jesus has called you to? Is this salvation that he's given you, what have you done with it? A shallow heart can't do anything with it. They pin their hope on that one, that moment. And you see, Christianity isn't just about that moment. That's the starting block. That's the beginning. Listen, I'm not telling you you're going to hell if that's all you hang on to. Hear what I'm trying to say. This is what Jesus is trying to say. Is a true Christian has a life that follows it. And what happens is, many times the reason we don't grow is because persecution comes our way. Well, Jesus, I'm all sold out to you on Sunday, but Monday morning, man, I got to trade some stocks. I got to be in this thing, and it's cutthroat, and it's shark, and it's dog-eat-dog, and I got to do what I got to do, Lord. But come Sunday, I'm going to be excited for you. But come Monday, you can come along if you want to, but I'm going. That's what a shallow heart is. We're going to run into shallow hearts today. They may not be like the hard hearts telling their stories and hating on everybody, but a shallow heart, if you think about this, somebody who has a shallow heart that follows Jesus just in a moment is, imagine today, the big game is happening, it just quit in the third quarter. Had no resolution. How would everybody feel? We thought there was revolts over COVID. I'm pretty sure people would take to the street. Like, I'm not talking the old school, taking it to the street. No, we're not doing that. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying people would be angry. People would be trying to simulate the game on their own. You might see, they might put pads on my old tail to go out there to finish the game. Like, it would be crazy. That's what a shallow heart is. It starts, but it doesn't finish. And the last time I checked, when we get to heaven, Paul talks about running the race marked out before us. When we get to heaven, we want to run the race as to win the prize. But then when we get before him, we want to hear what? Well done, good and faithful servant. A shallow heart struggles with this. I'll put it to you in a different term. A shallow heart that Jesus is talking about is this. It's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. Married couples are about to have a marriage series. Any idiot can walk down an aisle, pay thousands of dollars for a dress and a tuxedo and a venue that costs as much as a house, and say some vows. Anyone. You could train your dog to do that. I know that sounds bad, but I'm being real. It's not about how you start your marriage. And listen, if you're divorced, I'm not telling you can't be divorced and you're going to hell and all this. Don't think I'm saying this. Listen. It's how you end it. It's when you're laying in that casket after 40 years of marriage, going through ups and downs, that you stuck to it. And see, marriage is about two people coming together, being what Jesus created them to be together, thing that they couldn't do apart. Like, if Jesus could do it with you being apart, there's no reason for you to be married. But the reason he brought your marriage together is to do something in and through you that you couldn't do by yourself, to grow, to be who he created you to be. And if you're getting married for any other reason, what's the point? What am I getting for? It's how you finish. Why do we celebrate retirement? It's how you finish. Why do we celebrate 5 years of being somewhere or 10 years of, it's how you finish. It's how you finish. It's not how you start. Anybody can start to play football. Anybody, I could start, I would stumble and I'll get ran over by all of these people in the NFL, but hey, I could go out there for one play. I may not walk again, but I could go out there for one play. It's how I finish. The shallow heart can't finish. And so what Jesus is saying is he wants us to finish well. He wants us to finish the race, not to be a shallow heart. Because to the world, a shallow heart is a moment. And so what happens is it looks like you followed your feelings. And so that's what the world will teach you to do, is follow your feelings. So Jesus is saying, don't have shallow faith, because shallow faith will rob you of your joy just as quickly as your joy is robbed with a hard heart. Verse 22, the seed falling among the thorns, refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. This is the most scary heart. I told you these next two are scary. This is the biggest fear I have of anything when it comes to the hearts. And it's the third heart, that's the strangled heart. It's a strangled heart. Jesus is saying, hey, this isn't, so this person, so the first person just completely rejects the word of God or accepts it. Okay, so they start as a hard heart. As you go into a hard heart, some will stay and have a shallow heart, and their joy will be gone because they only, they hang by a moment. They have a Lifehouse song, and they go there, they hang by a moment, and then they never change. And see, Jesus loves us enough. If it was just about one moment, he'd call us to heaven right away. But instead, he still wants to mold and shape us, as Paul talks about in Romans 8, into the image of Christ, in the image of what we were created to be. And so Jesus moves on to say, hey, if you don't have a shallow heart, the next thing you could have is a strangled heart. So maybe you've moved past that moment. You've taken some next steps in the Lord, but now you have a strangled heart. And this defines us more sometimes than we want to believe. A strangled heart struggles with comfort. Struggles with staying the same more than ever, like struggles with comfort. In other words, you give all out. You go all out on the weekend. You go all out on Sunday. But once again, come Monday, if you were to ask anybody around you who Jesus is to you, they'd be like, him? Who's Jesus to him? Really? I knew he liked Florida State. We prayed for him for that. But we knew he liked Florida State, but him? So in other words, what happens with a strangled heart is in America, we can be that way in the church. We can get real comfortable. Jesus calls us to take a next step, and we don't want to. And I don't know about you, but I kind of wanted to, a strangled heart works because it's where it is. It's kind of like that frog in hot water. That strangled heart slowly happens. Because here's what happens when you have a strangled heart. And Satan brings you, he slowly brings you drifting away. It's like all of a sudden you wake up in 2 years you hadn't been to church. 2 years you hadn't picked up your Bible. 2 years you hadn't prayed for anybody. Like all of a sudden, and if that's you and you're here today, thank you. I got more for you in a second. I got more for all of us to celebrate in a second for all of that. Because I'll be honest with you, we've all been at a strangled heart in our walk with Jesus, if we're honest. I'm telling you, I have been. We let the comfort creep in. We let the things of this world. In other words, Jesus is saying, hey, we let the deceitfulness of riches creep in. In other words, we're excited, but then we want more. We hear about the 30, 60, 100, and Jesus calls us to be a 30, but we want to be the 60. And we get mad at Jesus because we're not the 60. We get mad at Jesus because we're not the 100-fold increase that he promises. So we let the strangled heart. So we just start getting comfortable, and we start drifting. And when we start drifting, all of a sudden, it's like, boom, sin has brought us away. And we can't figure out where we are and why we aren't here following Jesus. I say it this way because we see it in the movies. But someone, if you've ever been with anybody who is choking, all right, we think of that instant moment, like that Heimlich maneuver, you know, you're getting there. Heimlich maneuver, like we're sitting there, we're helping them, we think of that moment. But somebody who really, we pray for some who have COPD, okay? Strangling, it's a slow process sometimes. And that airway just slowly, that's what Jesus is saying, is the seed that he's planted inside of us, those thorns come in, and they just slowly coil around the fruit that we're supposed to bear. And we just let it because we think it's something else. Well, the thorn's going to give a rose, right? Every rose has its thorn. I got all kind of music coming at you today, right? Because it's the Super Bowl. Like, oh, we're going to get kicked off for that. Big game. Got all these. We let it happen. It strangles us. We let the comforts of this life strangle us. And Jesus says, hey, you have so much more to do that. We do this today. This person, this heart will slowly justify more and more why they deserve it. And I'll be honest with you. When it comes to me, you'll see this around me. This is Tyler speaking to you. This is your pastor. This is all of those. The reason I struggle whenever you give me a compliment or whenever you come at me is I've struggled with pride so many times as I'm so afraid to fall into that strangled heart because I've done it so many times in my life. Because what'll start happening is I'll start justifying why I deserve this. Like, I deserve 7 Learjets, right? Like, I deserve this. And that's a slow drift. And what ends up happening for me personally is I'll just get in that drift. So it's terrible, and I always accept your compliments, and I'm thankful for them. But if you want to know, that's why I fight it so hard. It's because I'm so afraid of a strangled heart because I've been there. And it'll choke out. I mean, I spent my 20s in a strangled heart. Knowing God called me to something and refusing to do it. It's not that I'm living proof he can redeem anything. And if he can use anybody, if he can use me, he can use anybody. Like, I'm living proof. But I can tell you, I missed out on a lot of what I could have been a part of in my 20s because I lived with a strangled heart. Because I let the things of the world come in. I let the things of the world. I promised Jesus, hey, if you'll give me a job that makes the most money, I'll give it all to you. And he was like, I don't care about the job, son. It doesn't make a lick of difference to me. This is what I've called you to do. And I live with a strangled heart. And I'm great people, love the people Jesus let me, the connections Jesus let me be a part of, learned so much, but I had a strangled heart. And I missed out. And that's what Jesus is saying. He doesn't want you to miss out. My heart for you is I don't want you to miss out. So what is a strangled heart in the end as well as somebody who treasures anything over Jesus? We talk about this every week, but if you treasure anything in this world over Jesus, you're strangling your heart and what he wants to do in and through you. And he didn't die for us just to stay the same. He died for us to be who he created us to be. So what does this look like in a game? If you love football, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you don't, I'm sorry. It's okay. I'm going to try my best. If we were to live our life with a strangled heart, it would be a team that makes no halftime adjustments. Kind of like they're up 28-3 and they still lose the Super Bowl. Sorry, Falcons fans. But wherever you are, sorry. You make no halftime adjustments. So the shallow heart above ends the game in the third quarter. The strangled heart says, oh, it's going the way we exactly want it to go, so we don't need to change anything. They end up losing the game. They don't finish well. Jesus says, hey, I didn't die. I died to rescue your hard heart. So that way, you are not a shallow heart or a strangled heart, but are the fourth heart that he shows here in verse 23. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. In other words, if you have ears to hear, hear. Listen, this is what it means. He's saying, this is a person who has a life that follows their profession of faith. If they say that Jesus is Lord of their life, they've got the action to prove it. They have something that shows it. They're not saved. We're not saved by good works. But when we give our life to Jesus, we are taking part in good works. And so those works show up in our life. So this fourth heart is an open heart. So we all start out with a hard heart. We can get stuck in a shallow heart or a strangled heart. But what Jesus really wants us to have is an open heart, open hands, open heart, willing to go where he calls us to go, willing to do what he calls us to do. And when that happens, we'll be part of a 30, 60, or 100-fold increase. Now, you know, I love this story. And you know, one of the others, the parable of the talents outside of the Gospel of John, that's the one that I talk about. And we talk about how the one had five, one had two, one had one. The one with one talent buried it, thought that they could do more with it on their own and lived in fear. The two and the five multiplied it. The two and the five didn't argue about how much the other got. This seed can't argue about where it was sown. It just either fell on good soil and lived a life to produce a crop because it had the right root, or it didn't. And so that's what Jesus is saying for you is, hey, some churches get caught up in whether they're 30, 60, or 100. Who cares? Who cares? We're not over the increase. We're not over the harvest. What we are over is an open heart, though. Our heart is either open or it's closed. And if our heart is open, we're a part of the harvest, whether it's 30, 60, or 100. And that's why I'm thankful here that each and every one of you are here. I'm so thankful that Jesus lets us be here, because the revolutionary thing about following Jesus in the kingdom of God is, of all the things you could have done today, you chose to have an open heart and be in his house right now and said, Jesus, here I am. Do what you want with me. I don't know what's going on. Maybe you have a hard heart and now you're seeing your heart being open. You're saying, hey, I've tried to do it my way. It's not working. Let me go to see and go to something that can. So as we have an open heart and we see this, we get to be a part of what Jesus is doing. And so for each and every one of us, if we want to live this out, what we have to do is have an open heart. And when Jesus says go, when Jesus says pray, give, serve, whatever that is, we just do it, because we hear the word of God, we receive it, and we live it out. How does this play out in today's big game? It's the team that trusts the process and takes it play by play. The team that's going to win the game today, wherever they are, is going to be the one that takes it play by play, series by series. See, the thing that's great about football is it has a resolution. It does, eventually. Sometimes people aren't happy with it, but it has a resolution. And the thing that's true about our life is it's going to have a resolution. There will be an end. No question about it. There will be an end. And how we live our life and who we profess and surrender lordship of our life to will determine where we go. Okay? And so with this football game, if we take it play by play, if we follow Jesus step by step, all of a sudden we're part of a harvest that we could never ask. It's greater than we could ever ask or imagine. But if we're trying to hold on to something for ourselves and not have an open heart, that's when we miss out. That's when we miss out. And so, that's what Jesus has called me to have, is an open heart. That's my word for this year. We got through all of that just so it could be all about me. And you say, you shallow-hearted, strangle-hearted, crazy man. But no. Jesus is calling me just to have an open heart. I'll tell you why here in a little bit. We just have to have an open heart for what he wants to do this year. An open heart. Open heart. Will we trust him play by play? Or are we going to say, it's 3rd and 15. There's no way we're going to win this game. And Jesus is like, hey, just trust the play, Tyler. Just trust the play I'm calling. Just trust it. But God, we're down 15. No, son, I've already won the game. Shut up. The score's already determined. I've defeated death itself. Just trust. Don't worry about the down marker and the yards that you're behind. Don't worry that you feel like you're behind the sticks. Just trust me, son. Have an open heart. Why? Why are we even talking about this? Well, I would love for all of us to have open hearts, period, this year for what Jesus wants to do. He wants to do so much in and through us. But the thing is, I can't tell you what Jesus is calling you to do. I will cheerlead you to death with it, and I will celebrate that, and I want to walk with you through that. But I can't tell you what it is. I can tell you all day long what mine is. I can pray for your next step. And that's what we have to have going into this year. And that's why so many times you'll see me throw things out there, and then I'll just let it fall where it falls, because it's not on me. I can't carry the weight of that. You couldn't sustain the weight of that yourself. None of us could sustain the weight of that. So Jesus is calling us to have an open heart. How does this play out for us at the Vine? Well, last year we said roots was our word. We wanted to have deep roots. We wanted to grow deeper roots in Christ and deeper roots together. But the thing about roots is, as we just learned, the only way that we can really have roots is you can find it. It's right here in the beginning when Jesus starts. He says it in 23, and if I remember correctly, he says it in 8 as well. If you want to look, it says, produced a crop. It fell on good soil. So verse 8, still other seed fell on good soil. Verse 23, what Jesus says, but the seed falling on good soil. So here you go. Spoiler alert. The church word for the year for the Vine is good soil. Let's be good soil. That's our 2022 word. Last year was roots. We started growing roots. And we say, well, the roots didn't get as deep as I wanted them to get, or the roots didn't do this. But see, they have to have something that is with them to have soil. And here's my favorite part about soil, y'all. Get ready. You already know where I'm going because it's the story of my life here. What's the best part about soil, a good soil? What you got to have in it? Some compost, or you got to have some good old manure. You got to have some scuba, y'all. And I'm going to tell you, I've had some scuba in my life, and I bet you have too. And Jesus wants to take it to not only grow us, but grow the community closer to him. He wants to take those bad things, those crappy situations, that just in our life. And he wants to take that. He wants to use it as his good soul to grow us, to grow the Vine, to grow him, because he is the Vine. When we say the Vine, it's not just the Vine Church. He is the Vine that we are connected to. And to grow his Vine, we got to have good soul. So 2022, we're going to have good soul. This is where the open heart comes in for me. I want to tell you some things. I'm just going to scratch the surface real quick of what God's calling us to. And then we're going to gather together and we're going to see how to live it out. So the open heart thing, that the first thing is not open heart surgery. Lord, not that. Open heart to follow him is this. We're going to be kicking off spur at some point again. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. Why? Why are we doing it? I'm going to lead it. So pray until God brings the person, whatever that looks like. And that's the open heart I'm having, and I'm trusting him. And I don't know the dates we're meeting, the day of the week. I know the location by God's grace. It'll be right here, but I don't know what it fully looks like. And I'm going to trust God with it. And this is why. Because we have Spur students here that we have to be good soil for. Because they're going to go out in this world, and this world isn't going to let them get a free pass when they say they're a Christian. Isn't going to let them get away. It's going to actually make them defend their faith. So much so, the reason that as we were studying Mark, this is where Jesus hit me with this, and I'm just going to be real with you. I shared this a couple of weeks ago. I would not have been the youth kid you wanted in your youth group, because I asked the worst questions. The worst questions. Not what you think, like theologically. I shared it the other Thursday night. I was the one that asked, well, if Judas was doing God's will, why would he go to hell? Because he had to betray Jesus to go to the cross, right? And so as you said, yep, that's the kid. Go on up. Go sweep something, Tyler. Go get something. That's a different question. And as we were studying Mark, Jesus reminded me, hey, whether Jesus betrayed him or whether Judas betrayed Jesus or not, Jesus was still going to the cross. It didn't matter. He still willingly surrendered his life. That was going to happen. Jesus was giving Judas an out. Was giving him an out. Judas chose not to take it because his heart was strangled, shallow, and really hard. And so, where am I going with this? We got to give our Spur students some things. Even have theology questions that they need to walk through. They got to know what's going on. And I'm not talking apologetics. I'm talking about, hey, what is it I believe? That is why youth leave in droves when they're 18. Is because the church is afraid to say, hey, why do you believe what you believe? Who is Jesus to you? And what does your life look like to follow it? So I will tell you, this is where the open heart is. And I know maybe Jesus is asking you to help. I definitely need help with that. It may just start with a D group. Because, hey, when it comes to kids, it's okay. I'm not the best person for Spur. It's awesome. It's all right. But I'm going to have an open heart and trust Jesus to be good soul. So I'm reading Student Ministry by the Book. A book called Student Ministry by the Book. If you would like a copy and read it with me, let me know. I will gladly buy you one. I'm going to be reading this, and we're going to meet together, and we're going to figure out what that looks like. Why do we want to be good soul for our Spur students? Because right back there in that room are some Vine kids, and in a blink of an eye, they're going to be in high school. Because babies don't keep, y'all. And if we start having good soul for our Spur students now, It'll be great soil for that they can take root for them and have good soil. So that way when they get here, they're going to have a group of students that can tell them, I've been there too. Not just a bunch of adults to say, I've been there too. They're going to have people who can relate to them to say, I've been there too. Wasn't that long ago. So we want to be good soil. So there we go. There's one thing. The next thing, we want to have at least one more greenhouse gathering. I'm not leading the extra greenhouse gathering. I'm going to tell you that. We're going to do that on Thursday nights. That's what I'm praying for. I don't know what that looks like. I'm having an open heart. What that means is you get together, you have community. We call it a greenhouse because we believe you leave better than how you walked in, because that's what greenhouses do. And sometimes you just hear me tell jokes about Peter cutting somebody's ear off all night, and it's pretty funny. We have fun. We talk about that and how theologically that plays out. But we have some fun. We try to put that online. You say, I can't lead a group. I don't have the material to do it. I don't know what to do. We'll get material in your hand where all you got to do is press play, watch a video, and you have a discussion. So if Jesus leads you to do that, that's how we're going to be good soul. We're going to be good soul this year because we're going to do a community event. I don't know what that looks like. Maybe it's a worship night. Maybe it's partnering with the Y. I don't know fully what it looks like. That's why we're gathering together, but we want to be good soul for the community. We're people who are out there, because right now, I will tell you, people are in trauma. They are in PTSD right now. They are searching. They are searching for something, and we have the cure. It's Jesus. So we're going to be good soul. We're going to be inviting them in. I don't know what it may be, serving donuts to people running a marathon. Bless their heart. I don't know. I don't know what the community event's going to be, but we're going to do it. I'm going to trust Jesus with it. This is what he's called us to. And one other thing, hey, he may be calling us to more. So as sowers, we're going to be meeting in March to go through it. That's why you're here. That's why I'm thankful you're here. But we're going to do a hope tour this year. We're going to do a revival this year. We're going to set up and have an opportunity here in this space for the community to come in. Do you know where we meet right now? There are 10,000 people who come through this place. How many of them know who Jesus is? Maybe the sign they're looking for is sitting on the side of the road that says, hey, come hang out here on a Wednesday night. Come here on a Thursday. We serve food that'll give you diabetes or cure it. I don't know which one it is. But we serve plenty of sugary food. Come hang out. And then we get to share with them the hope of the gospel. We're going to do that this year. We're going to be good soul. And Jesus is going to call us to be good soul in other ways that I don't even know. He's pressing your heart right now for it. So we're going to get together next month sometime and talk about that. We're going to plan that out. We're going to be together. So I've been saying all the way through this year, we've been saying, hey, pray for what your one word is so you can bring it to the altar. After you get your one word, now that you know what your one word is over these next month, just be praying about how Jesus wants us to be good soil. Maybe I missed something. I'm sure I did. I'm only one person. Like I said, this hope tour, it's not going to be me preaching or talking. Don't clap too loud. But it's not going to be me the whole time. It's going to be other people. You're going to get to hear from people from Hope Rising Ministries. Like, we have folks that have different walks of life. There are people who have children. There are people who don't have children. There are people who can't sing, but there'll be people who can sing. There's going to be fun. We're going to be able to do it, but we can be good soul. And I don't know about you, but even though in this world that we live in, you can be around compost and it stink, but you know what it's going to produce, right? That's the win. That's what we're going to do, because we know what Jesus is going to produce. We know it. So we just get to have open hearts, open hands, and good soil. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. A lot to take in. A lot of fast talking, a lot of musical references. It's a good day in the house of the Lord. But in the end, he's going to get the glory. And that's why we do what we do. And we celebrate, hey, over $165,000, our seeds of the gospel that's gone out. We celebrate that since we've launched. But we also celebrate the roots he's putting here. When Jesus called the disciples out, if you look in Acts, look what he says. He says, hey, I will call you to go out to all the nations. But first you start where? You start in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the ends of the earth. What we give out in the 165 plus goes to the ends of the earth. This year he's calling and reminding us, Jerusalem. Start in Jerusalem as well. Keep getting roots in Jerusalem. And as you go from Jerusalem, you'll go to Judea. And then when you go to Judea, you'll be in Samaria. And all of a sudden, you're at the ends of the earth. So we're going to have a two-pronged approach this year. Good soil here, good soil around the world. And we're going to keep sowing seeds of the gospel. So why does all this matter? And why am I eating Dove chocolates? Which heart are you? I can't tell you. That's the beauty of this message. I can't tell you which heart you are. But you know. And the Holy Spirit knows. You've moved past the hard heart and you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but right now the world may think you have an open heart. And it's really not an open heart, it's shallow. They think you have the joy, they think you're in it, they think you're all in the game, but really your joy is just a moment away from being snatched up. And you have a shallow heart. Maybe you're in a strangled heart. Maybe the Holy Spirit's pressing into you and you were like, I don't want that guy being the only one leading teenagers. Jesus, he needs help. Yes, I do. And maybe that's what he's pressing into you. Maybe it's at work. You don't ever talk about Jesus. You don't ever love people right where they are. The only way you tell them about Jesus is beat them up about it. No. Like, what is that? Or maybe you have a wide open heart. And I believe many of us here have an open heart. The fact that you're here shows you have an open heart. But Jesus is calling you today maybe to take a next step in that. And will you trust him with it? So today, what heart do you have? As you give out hearts all day tomorrow filled with chocolates, what kind of heart could we give the world as we share the heart of Jesus with them? It's the greatest love that this earth has ever seen. And it's the greatest love that no one in this earth can experience without him. So we get to share him. So what heart is it? Because here's the thing in the world we live in. Valentine's Day is going to come and go. It's going to come and go. Some hearts are going to be hard after that Valentine. You're going to see the shallowness of others. You're going to see the strangled of others. And you're going to see the open heart of some. But Valentine's Day will come and go. And the heart for others will come and go in this. But when you have a heart of Jesus, your heart for others will only be magnified and multiplied. Because in this world we live in, it's not going to do nothing but cancel you when it doesn't agree with you. It isn't. You see, cancel culture, got to share this a little bit today, so I'll say it. All cancel culture does is confirm that we are all sinners in need of a Savior, whether it wants to admit it or not. Because once we cancel everyone out, we'll see how messed up, jacked up, narcissistic, hopeless people we are without Jesus. We will. That's what cancel culture does. So will you keep canceling people? Or will you follow the one who canceled the thing that was killing you, and that's the sin in your life? That's the question we get to make. We get to show the world that's trying to cancel everything that there is one greater who canceled the thing that was actually killing us, that was wrong with us. And so Jesus reminds us of this wherever we are. In John 15:5, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Right now, my question is that last part, apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus right now wants to take the things in our life that are apart from him, and he's asking us to make sure we're connected to him in it. Shed those things that aren't in him in our life and trust him with the rest. Because when it happens, we will see fruit be bore. And we've got to celebrate so much fruit being bore in our church. I can't wait to celebrate more, but more importantly, I can't wait to celebrate it for eternity in heaven when somebody's like, dude, I couldn't pay my power bill last month, and this ministry you supported paid it. And now Jesus told me, you were joking with Peter on the way in, and he put you at the back of the line so you could talk to me. But you were joking with Peter on the way in, and they just told me that it was the sowers at the vine that did that. And you know what I'm going to get to do? It wasn't just me, bro. It wasn't just me, sis. Let me show you this one. Let me show you this person that was part of the vine with him. Let me go show you this person. And we're going to get to spend eternity doing that because we have open hearts. But the things in this world that aren't in him, that we treasure over him, will only lead to death. So my question is, and the reason we do what we do is, are you trying to find love in a person? Because tomorrow's going to be disappointing. Actually, tomorrow's going to be great for you. February 15th is going to be real disappointing, though, because it's always coming. Are you trying to find love in a career? Are you trying to find love in a degree? Love in a sports team? Love in anything other than Christ? And I'm telling you, it will always fall short. But if you start by experiencing his love and freely receiving it, something that you can't earn, something that none of us can earn, actually none of us deserve, we can only freely receive it. If you start there, then you'll experience love that's greater than you could ask or imagine. So why we do what we do every week is to see and reach hard hearts every week that are opening up to the Holy Spirit, knocking on the door of your heart to experience this love. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, please repeat this prayer after me. We do this for the benefit of those coming to the faith for the first time. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. And believe it or not, this isn't the end all be all. This is the starting block for your life in Christ. We do that and we pray this out loud so that those who have hard hearts will freely receive with an open heart the salvation that only He can bring. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, please repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from You. I believe You came, lived a perfect sinless life I couldn't live. Died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross. And loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow You step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, for the first time you can say you freely opened your heart and freely received this gift of salvation that only Jesus can bring. I'm going to count to three and boldly ask you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. If you're in the house and that's you, would you raise your hand? If you're online right now, you may see a hand that's raised, or you can comment online that, yes, I've taken that step of salvation. Yes, I've opened my heart to Jesus. I've experienced this for the first time. We want to celebrate that with you and walk with you through your next step. If that's you, don't let today go by without letting someone know. And here's the other thing we want to help you with. Maybe you're listening. We have folks who listen from around the world. We want to get you in touch to a local church where you are so that you can get deeper roots in Christ and deeper roots in the local church around the world. So please let us know if that's you. And for the rest of us, you can go ahead and look up as we go into this song. Today, I said we were going to do this, and so I'm going to tell you. Right now, each of you should have got two of these, and this is where you can willingly do this or not. It's up to you. But it shows the Vine Church's 2022 word. We did this last year as well. You can see good soil on there, and it says my word, my verse, or my phrase, whatever it is that Jesus has given you, you can write that on there. You have two. Why do you have two? Well, if you would like, you can fill one out, lay it here, and we'll collect them after the service. You don't have to put your name on it or anything. We're just going to pray over those words or phrases for each and every person throughout this year. Our Power Plant prayer team can do that. And also one that you can keep in a prominent place to remind you of what Jesus has done. Because here's the thing. We're about to sing a song about the promises of God. It's always great to be reminded of His promise, isn't it? It's always great to be reminded of His faithfulness. So we want to put that in a prominent place. Put that in your Bible. Put it on your refrigerator. Don't put it over your eyes. I don't know if that would work. You probably want to be able to see. But put it in a place that you can be reminded of it daily. So as we sing this song, if you would like to lay this at the altar, we're going to be declaring that we believe in God's promises, and this word that He has given us, He is faithful to see it to fruition and bear fruit. So would you stand, write your word if you would like to, and sing with us.
Faithful through the ages, God of Abraham, You're the God of covenant, of faithful promises. Time and time again, You have proven You do just what You say. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast and let my heart learn. When You speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is Your faithfulness to me. Great is Your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting same, I will praise Your name. Great is Your faithfulness to me. To age, though the earth may pass away, Your word remains the same. Yeah, Your history. You're faithful and true. Though the storm may come and the wind may blow, I'll remain steadfast. And let my heart learn when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting, same, I will praise your
Jesus.
same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me.
Isn't it awesome that we can celebrate God's faithfulness today? Like, realistically, you can tell we have fun at church, so like, Florida State's going to let me down all the time, right? Like, the things of this world will let us down, and whether I'm faithful to them or not, I still, unfortunately, faithfully have people who love me and myself spend money on their apparel, but they will let me down. But there's nothing greater than trusting Jesus, because he won't let me down. He's forever faithful, even when it seems like everything is against me or everything's falling apart. He is the one that holds it together. So I'm saying all that to say, we're going to celebrate that in marriage over these next few weeks. So we would love to invite you to come hang out with us next week. It's not just for married people. It's going to be from people of all kinds, because I'm not married, and I'm going to be speaking at one, at least one, if not all of the Sundays there. So we would love for you to come join us, have some fun with us, see that, hey, we're trying to have good soul, be good soul for everyone who comes in the door, and we would love to see your smiling face. Have an awesome week. Love you guys. Always remember and always know that here at The Vine, the best is still yet to come.